When a car engine starts smoking, the worst thing you can do is just like turn up the radio to drown out the noise.
Right, yeah, definitely.
But for a long time, I mean, that's exactly how corporate leadership treated burnout. Just turn up the volume, push through it, and tune it out.
Yeah, if you couldn't handle the heat, that was a you problem.
Exactly. So, welcome back to your deep dive. Today, we're looking at a pretty massive shift in corporate culture based on a briefing called The Executive Reappraisal of Modern Workplace Burnout.
And it is a real shift, you know. For decades, the implicit policy was basically just endurance.
Right.
But what this reappraisal shows is a structural top-down reevaluation.
Yeah.
Leadership is finally treating burnout as a systemic organizational failure, not just an individual weakness.
Wait, I mean, I have to push back here a little bit. Is this an actual structural reappraisal or is it just, corporate PR?
That is the big question, yeah.
Because we've all seen executives claim to care about burnout, right? They roll out a wellness seminar or like a new meditation app, but then they still expect you to answer emails at 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, absolutely. The classic lip service.
Right. So how is this time actually any different?
Well, that's the crucial distinction here, and it's the real aha moment in the text. They aren't doing this out of some sudden sweeping sense of empathy.
Okay.
They're doing it because the math changed.
Right, the math?
Exactly the math.
Yeah.
The financial cost of replacing burned out talent, so recruiting,
No
onboarding.
lost institutional knowledge.
Yes, exactly. All of that has finally eclipsed the short-term gains of just extracting maximum productivity from one person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the traditional model of squeezing people until they leave is now like actively hurting the bottom line. So when the text talks about a reappraisal, it means executives are looking at their operating models and realizing it's just economically unsustainable.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, money talks. But that raises an obvious question, like, why now? What is actually forcing executives to recalculate this math today, as opposed to, say, 5 or 10 years ago?
Well, the source text points to one really undeniable catalyst, which is bottom-up shifting employee expectations.
Right. The pandemic really changed
Yeah,
things.
exactly. The workforce went through this massive realignment over the last few years. People realize that burnout isn't some badge of honor,
Yeah, for sure.
and that collective realization is what's essentially breaking the traditional top-down management model.
So, if I'm hearing this right, leadership is basically acting entirely reactively here.
Yes.
Like, they aren't being these proactive visionaries. They're only changing because the workforce has already rewritten the rules of engagement.
That's a perfect way to frame it, actually. The ground just shifted beneath the C-suite when employees collectively start drawing boundaries,
Refusing the 80-hour grind.
right, or rejecting the idea of constant availability. Leadership really has no choice but to react.
So how does that reaction actually play out structurally? Because if, ping pong tables and pizza Fridays are out.
Right. Well, it looks like decoupling output from hours worked. We're talking about tangible shifts here.
Like what?
Like the adoption of asynchronous communication, where you aren't expected to reply within 30 seconds.
Oh, nice.
It's a move toward outcome-based performance metrics rather than just presenteeism. Executives are having to look at workloads and acknowledge that if a job requires 60 hours a week just to maintain a baseline, the role itself is flawed.
Which, I mean, sounds great on paper, but I imagine it creates massive tension in the middle of the company.
Oh, for sure.
If the C-suite is suddenly preaching work-life balance, but they're still demanding high quarterly growth, it's the middle managers who get caught in the crossfire.
Spot on. They're squeezed between the new employee boundaries and the same old productivity targets.
Right.
And that tension is exactly why this reappraisal is so difficult to execute. True structural change means executives have to rewrite the metrics of success for those managers, too.
Because otherwise, they just pass the stress down.
Exactly. If leadership simply tells a manager to, reduce team burnout without lowering quotas or increasing headcount, the structural flaw hasn't been fixed.
It's just been delegated.
Exactly.
So, what does this all mean for you listening right now? I mean, the big takeaway is that the workplace power dynamic has fundamentally shifted.
Yeah, it really have.
These evolving employee expectations have successfully forced executives back to the drawing board. They are finally having to treat burnout as a systemic flaw in their own business models.
And this is incredibly relevant to your daily life.
Yeah.
It means that the very definition of burnout and how it's managed at your own workplace is likely being actively rewritten by your leadership right now.
Yeah, you're literally living through the establishment of a totally new corporate baseline.
You're finally checking that smoking car engine.
Which leaves us with this question to explore on your own. If shifting employee expectations have already forced this executive reappraisal of burnout today, well, what will the next evolution of employee expectations look like once this new, healthier workplace baseline is fully established?